Good morning and welcome to your Wilf Wake Up Call. My name's Tana Hartman. I'm your host today. Our engineer is Dick Paddock. And our guest today is Jerry Markatos. Jerry is a photographer and local activist who has been very, very active in a number of issues. Today we're going to talk about media, about balance and accuracy in journalism, and about an event that's coming that you won't want to miss. Welcome, Jerry.
Good morning, Tana. Good morning. Hi, everybody. Our media discussion group meets every month, and we try to get issues, get some really good panels and speakers and videos about issues that we need a little help with, since our media do such a good job, as we saw getting into a war in the Middle East and now the collapse of the economy. We were so much on our own that we decided to have a organization here that would look a little further and would press our existing broadcasters to think about the public more and not just the advertisers and the
right.
and the the money side of their operation.
Badge has been around for quite a while now.
Well, it got started in 1991, and we've had monthly meetings ever since.
And in the interest of full disclosure, I am a member of Badge. I am the treasurer, in fact. And so it is a great group. If you want more information, Jerry, you'll tell us how people could get in touch and learn more about it.
Yeah, I give a phone number later. Anyway, one of the reasons for our existence is to support independent media. And there's just been a fabulous expansion in that category in our area over the last several years, and this station is a prime example of it. I know there are certain programs that have a very high standard for honesty and for really delivering, looking out for the listener, looking out for us, and not some faraway interests. And several of those programs are on this station. Tuesday morning, one of the very best series anywhere is called Alternative Radio. And if you're into defending the public interest in any way, whether it's looking for more honest government or trying to understand what's really going on with how food is produced, or why is so much food produced yet so many people are hungry, all of these things, you get some serious insights and also some leverage on knowing how to press for reform in a program like Alternative Radio. And then 2 days in a row, see, that comes, as I think our listeners would know, here in Carrboro, right after Democracy Now! On Tuesday morning, Alternative Radio is on for an hour. And then on Wednesday, a couple of excellent programs, Making Contact, which deals with takes one issue after another and shows you what people are active with, where the struggles are. And then Counterspin does some lovely media criticism.
There are a number of programs on WCOM, and this is, by the way, an all-volunteer radio station. And to find more information about it, you can go to co-op? Gosh, suddenly my mind went blank. Communityradio.coop. Www.communityradio.coop. And we're back with Jerry Markatos.
Well, we had a very nice surprise just a very few days ago that a message came from the Democracy Now! Touring director, and there's someone named Dennis Moynihan who's been with the station, been with the program for years. I think he's more recently head of Free Speech TV, but he helps with the tours. And he said that Amy Goodman would be available to speak to do a couple of benefit events here, right here. And and so we've got four organizations that are co-sponsoring this event and will benefit from the entry, from the tickets. There will be a reception, and this all happens on the 8th of April, so it's coming up real fast. It won't be long before there will be a website that the People's Channel is putting up that will allow people to order tickets using PayPal. You can also order them directly from each of the four groups. The biggest one is WNCU, which broadcasts all across the Triangle, and they broadcast Democracy Now! From 6 to 7 every day, every weekday. And we know that Democracy Now! Is on WCOM, and the People's Channel has been putting the program on public access cable.
People Channel is Channel 8, public access local cable TV.
That's right, and I've heard that there have been efforts to get it offered in Carrboro. I don't know if the fences and walls between one area and another are still standing in that regard.
Yes, unfortunately they are.
That's such a marvelous project that over at the People's Channel they do training for people of all ages, all up and down the age scale, and really it constitutes a pretty fabulous media literacy experience.
There's a summer program that comes up for kids and is really a wonderful program, and they'll be taking reservations for that soon.
And there's been anytime there's turf to be fought over, some kind of struggle emerges, and in the communications industry, there's not a whole lot of love for the public access channels and for public broadcasting. I mean, a lot of public broadcasting is so corporate-minded that they get a lot of pats on the back from the corporate side. But as far as the kind of public interest, looking out for your community, whether you think of it locally or statewide or global, it's stations like this that are really doing the heavy lifting and have to watch out the most and need the most defending by people who understand the difference. There was recently a move by AT&T in some cable operation of theirs to squeeze all of the public broadcasting and cable content into one little narrow part of what people were paying for. And that meant that that you didn't get an option as to whether to have the closed caption on or off for the content that was there. It would just always be on. And so people who were doing courses, accredited courses, et cetera, trying to survive in this economy and in this competitive job situation, we're losing access to the program, to the lesson content that was in the lower part of the picture. So that was just being automatically blocked out, whether you wanted it or not, by the text of whatever was being said. So it was pretty crazy, and it's pretty indifferent. A lot of indifference to the public, and so there was a comment period that just closed, and there was just a lot of comments that came in to the FCC to demand that that the public not be squeezed out of all of this maneuvering that goes on, and to make sure that public access channels like the People's Channel are defended as an important part of our communities.
And they are. They've been a very, it's through a lot of public access and low-power FM stations that we actually have gotten more of the truth of what's been happening around the war, around, in the economy, than on the mainstream media, because it's so corporately owned and operated. Channel 8, TPC, the People's Channel, is cable channel 8, as we said, and you can just Google TPC 8, Chapel Hill. They are also opening a media branch in Durham. There's a new access station opening up in Durham. So let's talk just a minute about this event and tell people a little bit more and where it's going to be.
Well, the planning is not 100% complete, but we do have a venue. We've got a very nice location with easy parking, which is getting to be pretty rare in this area. It will be at the. It will be on Garrett Road, which is pretty much at the edge of Durham. It's between if you go back and forth between Chapel Hill and Durham on the boulevard there. It is on the Durham end of the boulevard, and you turn right. If you're coming from Chapel Hill, you turn right onto Garrett Road and go about half a mile and watch carefully on the left. And there's a kind of a subtle sign that's for Eno River Unitarian Universalist.
It's at the top
Fellowship.
Of the hill.
Top of the hill, and just come right in and park. There's parking all around, and so there's room for about 400 or 500 people. And because of the number of organizations that are sponsoring this and will benefit from this, and folks, it's a great way to support the level of discourse and understanding and knowledge and public empowerment that this program represent, that Democracy Now! Represents.
And Amy will be there talking and signing her book.
Yeah. She's quite a speaker. It's been about probably 8 or 10 years since she was here. She did speak at a Surge conference that was a Students United for Responsible Global Environment conference that was a coalition building organization, and it was just quite a riveting talk. One of the things that she described had to do with really the integrity that she and her colleagues bring to journalism. She and Jeremy Scahill had done a really remarkable probing report in Nigeria about the way that the oil companies are extracting the oil and paying off corrupt people in the government and contaminating the area, making it really hard for people to farm and even grow a garden. And there's been this struggle by the people there in the Delta area, especially of Nigeria, to get some benefit out of it, get some jobs, get whatever, you know, get compensation for damages of oil spills and exhaust and stuff. So there's been a very violent response to that by the government and by Chevron. The government and Chevron together have these very brutal troops that are called the kill and go.
Really?
Yeah, really, what, just what it sounds
kill
like,
and
the
go.
Kill and go. And so they did this serious piece, and they won the top award in that category in the at the Overseas Press Club. Well, this is at the same time that the U.S. was bombing Yugoslavia, and the U.S. was not just, you know, flying the planes 5 miles from 5 miles up, safely bombing all kinds of you know, everything from bridges to, well, it happened just before that event that they bombed a civilian television station, and there's all these pretenses, well, you know, it's being used for you know, government purposes. But as Amy pointed out, the people in there were people who, you know, would put makeup on folks before they went on the air. There were people cleaning the place. There were people writing copy. It wasn't a military operation. And they wanted to ask, and Jeremy Scahill was determined to ask Richard Holbrooke, who was the featured speaker, and for whom the press Overseas Press Club had agreed not to ask any questions after he spoke. No questions.
Yeah, that's good press.
There you
let's,
go.
Let's
there,
not ask any real questions.
That's real journalism. And so as soon as Holbrooke finished his talk and the applause was beginning to die down, Jeremy Scahill jumped up and said, Ambassador Holbrooke, a question from the press. And he started asking his question, and the MC over there motioned to some guards to come grab Jeremy Scahill, and they grabbed him. They were dragging him to the door, and Amy, in a very forceful way, said, "Release that man. He gets an award in a moment here." And so, and they let him go. She said with some surprise, they let him go, and they went on with the ceremony. But they actually. They thanked the organization for honoring them, and then they said, "But we have to return this award to you. We can't accept an award on these important issues from an organization that would invite the key person who negotiated war in this case, and you're not even gonna ask the first question, So that they're serious about what they're doing, and they're serious about who they're serving, and they're just not in it to serve power. So it makes for some pretty interesting, as all of us who are listening now know, it makes for very interesting listening. Another thing that Amy referred to in that talk, and people who have who know about her career remember, is that she went with a very highly respected human rights journalist called Alan Nairn to East Timor at a time when the U.S. had approved Indonesia's genocide in East Timor, because in the background was offshore oil of this little what had been a European colony, and it was given its freedom. And on the eve of that took place, the Indonesian government decided, well, hey, easy pickings, and our friends in Washington are okay with it. So there was this just really a period of horrors. There was a UN vote that was, the UN got involved, and there were to be votes, there was to be a vote on independence. And in the midst of the continued violence, Amy and Alan were there at a demonstration where that took place after the burial of someone who had been murdered. And the Indonesian troops just moved in and started gunning people down in the street, just all around where these two journalists were. And they raised, instead of running for cover, they raised their microphones and stood between the troops and these people in the street. It's just stunning to see people with this degree of responsibility trying to use their position to the utmost, for some benefit somewhere, instead of just, coming back with a hot story and maybe getting an advancement somewhere along the way. Splendid work.
Jerry, I want to come back to that, and I'd like for you to say a little bit about why should this be so important and so unusual in our media? Because isn't that what the media is supposed to do in the first place, to actually ask the tough questions? And why don't they? But for right now, I want to tell you about our sponsor, and that is Internationalist Books. They're at 405 West Franklin Street. The website is internationalistbooks.org. And they're a wonderful community resource, so I encourage you to check them out. We are Triangle Wilf, that's the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, at trianglewilf.org, triangle, WILPF.org. And we're coming to you again from communityradio.coop, that's WCOM. And we're here with Jerry Markatos talking about media, and Amy Goodman is coming to town on April 8th. And the reason Amy and Democracy Now!, her team, are so unusual and so remarkable in what they're doing, it's amazing to me that we don't have a media. Now I have noticed that since 2008, mm-hmm. There are a few programs in the corporate media that have begun to at least pretend like they're asking the tough questions, and so they say that they're doing it with no BS and no right. Mm-hmm. But in fact, they're not asking them the way Amy mm-hmm. is. What makes her different? What's going on there? Why are we not getting it from our media?
Well, there are probably folks who could answer this in just one or two sentences. For me, I sort of have to back up to some of the issues that I've been involved with, like. When Central American countries have tended to try to establish governments that actually express some self-determination and look out for the people instead of just outside investors from far away, or maybe not so far away, there have been violent actions against those governments, like in Nicaragua in the late 70s and in the 80s. And in the 80s, Guatemala, just a serious bloodbath there. over sharing of power with the public. You know, it's over democratic process. And so Noam Chomsky has over time explained a lot about this, and he says that and when people talk about the media being freer in places like Europe, he says, well, it's a simple reason that they have more freedom there. They don't have an empire to justify and to try to make excuses for. And to and what they say, he sort of bluntly puts it, what they say doesn't matter. Well, that raises an interesting matter about what journalism can be here. It really can matter. Either we go ahead, either we continue with kind of a sleazy, know-nothing attitude about what's happening at the top and experience the kind of dispossession, people losing their retirement, people losing their jobs, and seeing their communities, you know, perched on the edge of real serious turmoil, we have some choices. And so it's a big job trying to keep the attention of our more established. Well, you always have to challenge. You always have to challenge our institutions, all of them, to keep their eye on their mission, on what they were established for, because they mm-hmm. kind of get comfortable and they kind of look for advantage. And so when you have a very pushy government, very powerful government in Washington that is owned to an unfortunate extent by other interests rather than mm-hmm. by us, then you've got a problem for broadcasters. Do they say, well, you know, the emperor wears no clothes? Or do they say, well, you know, that was kind of a nice hat the emperor is wearing, and you know, nice shoelaces? There's a certain inversion of cause and effect that happens when people are making excuses for the exercise of power, and you see it when in the Middle East, big time, and you see it we've seen it. Now, with people making excuses for all these swindles that were going on by saying, well, it was the poor people who cheated when they were buying their houses.
Oh, yeah, let's blame it on the poor
home. Let's blame it on the victims. So when you slide into being easy with the idea of blame the victims and just go along and get along, it's an easy ride for the people, you know, making it by distributing compromised material. It's easy. You don't challenge your wealthier listeners who are, you know, who might not want to think about how what their investments are doing in the Congo, or back home. And so when Cliffside coal plant is being established and Duke Power wants it, and the governor wants to look good, and the media are compromised, and the people don't have really the fullest understanding, or deprived of the fullest understanding of their power and their ability to express their interest in this, then you have the state of North Carolina sliding into a really ugly decision over how we're going to approach the energy issues and whether we're going to use that vast untapped reservoir of energy efficiency that gets pushed aside when the pushy interests want us to just do more generating power.
There is, in my opinion, entirely too much deference to power and authority to those at the top in this country, and there should be. Amy takes, well, actually, when she called in, we were talking about it earlier, one time when Bill Clinton was president, and he called into Democracy Now. Now, they didn't solicit him. They didn't ask him to call. He called. The White House called. They wanted to talk. It was election time. Now, this was 2004, I think. And she started asking some really tough questions and got accused of being combative and confrontational and such. And in fact, she was just asking the questions that really needed to be answered and that were important to our interests, to protecting us, but weren't getting answers. And that's the case. That's the case quite commonly. We've reached the point in this country where we assume that if you've got money and power, that you're right, you know what you're doing, and, you know, we should trust you. But it's often, as we have seen in many of the recent economic, financial disasters, mm-hmm. not true. People at the top do not necessarily know what they're doing. And I would have to say that is also the case right here in our area. And so we need to have a little less deference toward the powers that be and a lot more curiosity and interest and advocacy on our own behalf to ask the tough questions. And that is something that Democracy Now! Has been doing. And there are some other programs, too, as you mentioned, that are doing that. But we need to support them, and we need to encourage it, and we need to be tougher.
I heard on alternative radio, maybe some of the listeners heard this program too, Eduardo Galeano and Arundhati Roy were speaking, were on stage together, and they did this wonderful discussion about really current events, and Galeano was making his usual witty and sometimes obscure comments like, we have to learn how to fly in the night like bats to get through this. And Arundhati Roy was talking about, really, she was talking about something that hadn't happened yet, the contrast between the U.S. right now with all of these upheavals and Europe, where people know their rights and they turn out in the streets and they say, you're not going to do that to my job or my school. And she said, we have to become a more troublesome people.
We really do. We really do. I have an old stamp from the 60s. It's all dried out and stuff, but it actually still works. If I've got the ink, it stamps question authority.
Yeah.
And I used to give that to my kids and say, question authority. You don't have to be docile. Right. And
I'm just so pleased that we're at a point here where Carrboro especially has such a fabulous sense of community and something you can use the term self-determination about it. There's a clarity of what people have achieved here and want to sustain, and it's really expressed very nicely in this station that brings such useful content instead of just infotainment and the fluff that some of the other broadcasters get tempted into.
Well, we're going to have to wrap up, but once more, I want to say we've got Democracy Now!'s Amy Goodman is coming to the Triangle area on April 8th. She will be speaking at the Eno River Unitarian Universalist Fellowship in Durham on Garrett Road. That information will be posted on websites for the People's Channel, TPC Channel 8, for WCOM and WNCU. Notices will be going out from Balance and Accuracy in Journalism and from each of these groups to a lot of listservs.
Yeah.
And we'll have more details about ticket costs, about getting into the reception, et cetera.
Watch your email.
Watch your email for this.
It's going to be circulating soon. I wish we had the very final details on it.
I do too. But by next Friday, we will.
When you buy your tickets, and I really recommend getting them early because that's not a very large space. So be sure you people that you know who care about these kinds of things, make sure they know about it and
spread the word
and get your tickets early.
Yes, absolutely. Buy early, buy often. And we are coming to you from WCOM LP Chapel Hill and Carrboro. Your all-volunteer radio station. Go to communityradio.coop. And you have been listening to the Wilf Wake Up Call. Thank you, and join us again next week. And stay tuned for Amy Goodman and Democracy Now!